Ultra Coffee. Performe o seu melhor nos treinos, estudos e trabalho. Ciclovia do Rio Pinheiros. A ciclovia que revoluciona o jeito de pedalar em São Paulo. Saiba mais na descrição desse podcast.
Antes de você ouvir essa entrevista com o belga Johan Museum, é importante dizer o quanto que a equipe Gregário trabalhou por ela, principalmente o Álvaro Pacheco, que sempre acreditou que era possível trazer um papo tão bacana quanto esse para você. O Johan Museum é um ciclista que correu por 18 temporadas, campeão mundial, e tem como principal fato na carreira ter sido tricampeão da Volta de Flandres e também tricampeão da Paris-Roubaix, uma história rica, cheia de percalços e vitórias incríveis, temas da conversa que a gente tem a partir de agora. Com vocês, Johan Museum.
It's with a great honor and a huge pleasure for us all that we receive one of the best, if not the best cycling in the history of cycling, Mr. Johan Museum, the Liar of Flanders himself. Johan, thank you for accepting our invitation. It's a dream come true for us to have the opportunity to have you on the show. And let's give a nice story to the guys here in Brazil.
Yeah, hello, good evening to everybody that follow us and to hear us. We have speak already a long time to do this podcast with Alvaro. He texts me every day during the night and the day, and I answer always. But anyway, today is the day, and it's the day of Gregario. So it's the name is really beautiful for a podcast, Gregario. So for me, Gregario and... yeah, that's Italian. That's Italian name, and in Flemish you say the knecht, the knecht. So for me that means something special because my ex-teammates that working hard for me that are still my gregarios. So great that I can speak also to some Brazilian guys, and I have bike a couple of years before with Brazilian guys. They were not so bad, the condition that was okay. But I don't know how the situation is to bike in Brazil, so maybe I have to come over to Brazil. I know they have beautiful girls in Brazil, but I don't know the history of cycling.
Yeah, Brazilian cycling history definitely not as strong as in Belgium, I can guarantee you. But the culture is growing, and that's why the podcast began, because we want to be gregarious, to bring the information and serve as inspiration and helpers to develop a bike, the biking culture in Brazil. And that's really nice.
Right.
I must mention that I had the opportunity to meet you in 2018 with a program with Quickstep, where it was kind of a VIP program that you were hosting some guys together with Andrea Tonti at Paris-Roubaix. I had the privilege to ride the cobbles with you. You let me suffer a little bit before giving me the tips. I thought I wouldn't survive 10 meters, but then after your tips, I was able to do the whole Gran Fondo on the following Saturday.
Yeah, I remember. Quick Step, the Koenig Cycling Experience was the name. And that was the day, that was on Friday, I think, that we did the Renaissance of Roubaix with clients and customers and clients and also you. I don't remember you because, maybe you have longer hair then. I don't know.
A helmet.
We are trying to get a sponsorship from Alpecin Shampoo or some sort of company, but somehow they don't seem to like our podcast. I don't understand why.
I remember it was the day before I was eating already in Kortrijk, a nice restaurant. And the day after we were going to Roubaix with... There we did the start at the buzz of the Mapeti. So and then we did the last 60K and we stopped in Carrefour de l'Arbre and one of two stars Michelin restaurants. that I remember. And it was, not usual to get in cycling clothing in a famous restaurant and to have a lunch and to drink some good wines. But that's cycling in our country, and sometimes it's a little bit more open. But I remember that day. It was a beautiful day that I remember.
It is a day to remember my cycling life. And especially because at that restaurant, you suggested to drive back on the Carrefour de l'Arbre to meet the Destiny Quickstep teams that are coming over. And I rode for 50 meters. I said, no, one Carrefour de l'Arbre is enough for me in 1 year. So I'll stay here. But you did it in grace and technique that you have earned over the years.
That was the beginning of our cycling experience, because that's what I'm doing now. I'm guiding people around, especially Tour of Flanders, that I won 3 times, but also Roubaix that I won 3 times, and also over the world, in France and Italy. And that was then a little bit later on that come the Corona shit for everybody. So now it was a little bit more difficult for everybody to invite people, to bike with people. But hopefully we can restart next year our life.
There is one point that you've been touching, that is this life after professional cycling. Because, and this brings me a lot of curiosity, when you were the best in the world, it's very common. I cannot even imagine how much attention you got, especially in Belgium, media, France, everywhere. And you are used to being the center of star. But sometimes it's quite hard to find your meaning after your professional career. How it was this transition period for you when you saw that you wanted to quit professional cycling and that this is not the end of the road, that there is life that you can still do around the bike, but not only by being a professional bike rider.
It's for everybody the same. It's for a champion the same. It's for a medium rider the same. It's for a lower rider the same. If you stop, it's over. If you don't have the numbers anymore behind you on the jersey, then it's over. Then you have to do something new in your life. And that's a new start in your life. And that's really difficult for everybody. Because I did it after 18 years while I was professional, and then you have to stop, and then you have to find a new way, what you want to do, to find something new that give the same passion as before. It's quite impossible. At the beginning, I have started a bike company. That wasn't really a good idea to do that. And then slowly I find out that I'm still love biking, and that I want to bike with other people. So that was the beginning of what I'm doing now. And it was also hard for me to find a new way in after your career. And it's for everybody the same. So it's quite difficult to stop and then to restart a new life. It's more difficult because as a professional, a life as a professional, it's riding, it's training, it's massage, it's eating, and it's sleeping, and it's traveling, and it's do the race. And that's what you do a couple of years after. You have to refine yourself, what you want to do and what you can do. And it's quite hard for everybody to find a new way. And sometimes some riders have it difficult to find a new way. And it's not so easy to find something. It's easy to stay in cycling as sport director, manager or something. But I didn't want to stay in cycling in the beginning because after 18 years, it was a little bit over. Then you have a new life, and that new life is also very happy, and you can drink what you want, you can eat what you want, but you don't have to train anymore. And in the beginning, it's not so easy to understand that. And also your body doesn't understand that. And after a couple months, then you say to yourself, it's not the way to drink every day and to eat what I want every day and not to do some exercise or some biking. I feel better if I can bike 3 or 4 times in a week. Like this morning, I did 3 hours with the bike, and after I was happy and I feel good. And I try in December, it's quite difficult in Belgium to train and to get out with the bike every day because the weather is not always good. But this week was quite good and I tried to bike every day, 2.5-3 hours. I feel better if I can do that. And finally, I find the way now the last 5 years, what I want to do and what I like to do. And that's guiding people around. And it can be guiding, but it can also be a guest everywhere. 3 weeks before, I was in the Champagne area in France with Eddie Max, with clients of the UK. And we have bike 3 days together and we have drink something together, champagne, of course, and we have eat something together in the evening. So there was 3 beautiful days. And that's what I like. That's what I want to do. And I know it's like entertainment, eh? Because you have to be there a whole day for them. It starts in the morning at breakfast. Then you're starting on the bike. And after the shower, it's starting again at the bar. And your day will close if you get in bed, and the day after it's starting again. So it's a little bit like entertainment, but that's what I want to do and what I like to do. Finally, I have found a new way after that I stopped. So and I am invited with some companies because I have my own company, Mr. Cycling Experience, but I am so also get out with other companies. I'm more a freelance ex-rider.
By the way, how it is I will ask as a father to see Stefano racing. And you know all the things from inside the peloton. You know how it works. You know how to win the races, how to lose them, the right things to do, the right things not to do. But when it comes to your son, how is to see him racing and riding in the peloton as well and trying to follow your footsteps?
Yeah, as a rider, you'll do it by yourself. And what you do, you know exactly what you want to do or what you can do. And if you take risks, you know how you have to take the risk. And now, as a father of Stefano, I'm always afraid of the crashes and the risk of cycling. And yeah, if I'm in a race and if I have the race radio and the race radio say, oh, should tell a peloton, a crash in the peloton, then you hope you don't hear his number. So I'm a little bit more nervous than I was a rider. So but I see the patient for cycling, what he wants to do, what he likes to do, and that gave me so good feeling. And yeah, I'm happy that he wants to get a rider and that he wants to be a rider. But I know it's not so easy to have the name Museu. So, anyway, it's open doors and it's closed doors. So, but he do it very good. I have 2 sons. I have 1 older son, Gianni. He is working quite hard and he has a career. And the other one, Stefano, is professional cycling. So, they do it quite good. So, I'm looking already forward for the next year in cycling.
Johan, along with all the wins and the major dent in history you did in cycling, you have remarkable recoveries. When you have your motorcycle accident and when you have your knee accident in 98, it's admiring, especially nowadays when you see other athletes, just happened like with Chris Froome, that you had your leg, the risk of your leg being amputated after the 98 accident, but you recover from it and you came to win again. What kind of force, what kind of energy you have with you on those moments that all could be lost, but you recover and you came back on top?
First of all, I have to say, in life, you need always a little bit of luck. If somebody say it's not possible anymore, or you get in an airplane and the airplane clash, then you have bad luck. It's the same in a crash and with cycling. And I remember the crash that I did with Fabio Casartelli in the Tour de France. Fabio Casartelli was dead and I was alive. So Fabio was immediately dead. And I end the race and I end the Tour de France that year. And that was quite hard to understand for me because in the same crash, somebody is dead and somebody is alive. So you need, that's what you need to it. We call it the wet of Murphy. I don't know if you understand.
Murphy's law.
Yeah.
Lady Murphy in Portuguese.
Yeah. And the first time that you have something like that, it's difficult to understand. And that was the first time. And then the second time was the crash in Rouget that I have gangrene. And they have to amputate almost two times the leg. So, but finally, they didn't amputate the leg. And 2 years later, I won the same race, Rouget. So, And then you cross the line and then you give a sign to the knee. That was a sign to everybody that was helping me to recover and to helping me back as a rider, because it wasn't so easy to come back. But 2 years later, you win the same race. That race that already, that almost kill you, your leg, everything. And 2 years later, you're the hero. So life is, it's sometimes difficult to understand. And 2 years later, I have a motor accident with the motor. That was the day before I get to leave to the Olympics in Sydney. And I say, okay, I will get out 1 hour with the bike and with the motorcycle. And it was a Harley Davidson. And I have an accident. And I was 8 days in coma. So I was, Again, I have very luckily that I get out of coma after 8 days. And I say, what's happened now here? Where I am? And that's what I mean with life. Some people has the chance and everything, and some people have bad luck. And I have three times a lot of chance and good luck. And I can't say it will be for the rest of my life, because that's changed a little bit my life. I try to be happy every day. I try to be relaxed every day. And I try to profit every day of my life, because I know it can be over next week or tomorrow. And you don't have to think like that, but I know it can be like that. And that was a transformation in my life to do what I want to do. And what I want to do is, I want to bike with people that I like, and especially that I like, and that are my children, my family, and also other people, my friends, and everybody that's like cycling, like the bike, and that can be fast, that can be slow, and that can be each, even it doesn't then interesting me whatever each we have at the end. But me interesting that we have a beautiful day, and the day after is a new day, and that's how I live now on the moment. So I don't think in the next 10 years. So I want to profit every day of my life now. And that's that I was almost three times away. I don't know where I have to go, but let's talk about funny days.
Yeah, talking about funny days, a type of cycling that's not very known in Brazil is cyclocross. And it's something that you get to know early in your cycling career. How can you explain for somebody that never did a cyclocross race how it is to compete on cyclocross?
Yeah, I love to do that. And I was happy. And then finally, I'm starting also on road race. That was also okay. But cyclocross is... It's Flemish. You know, cyclocross is huge in Belgium. They cover it every week, every cyclocross. You can see it in television. But I was also a cyclocross man. And then after a couple of years that I was one of the biggest or famous classic riders in the world on the road, then you know the difference between a cyclocross man and somebody on the road. And that's the same with Van Aert and Van der Poel now. If Wout van Aert was, I think, 3 years before, he was the first time at the Strada Bianchi. And nobody knows him. Everybody say, who is this guy? That's the cyclocross man. And no, everybody knows van Aert. So that's make the difference. Cyclocross is in Belgium huge, maybe also in the US. And we have a couple riders that are very good. But it's 1 hour block, fun, technical. Because the last years, the races are more technical and more riding. But in my generation, it was more running than riding. So cyclocross, it was changing a lot. And I think now for the moment, cyclocross has it quite hard to know where they are. You see Van Aert and Van der Poel, they not participate a lot. They restart and they win again. What we can say about that? And we have to say the normal cyclocross men, if they going to the road, they are not really huge and not really the best. But if Van Aert, he is one of the best riders now at the moment. And what he has done this year, he won the Tour de France a sprint. He won a Chrono, a TT, and he won the Mont Ventoux. So I never have saw a rider that in the Tour de France won three different disciplines. And normally you're a sprinter, you're a climber, or you're a chronoman, for like Cancellara, for example. But Wout van Aert is so complete, and he has so much power, he is so explosive. Then you see immediately if he restarts cyclocross, the others, they can't follow. sorry for the others, but it's how it is. And I think he has 100 watt power more than the others.
That makes me remember one thing that I remember seeing an interview on Sporza that you say, to win Tour of Flanders, you don't ride on the side. You have to ride through the middle of the peloton. You have to know how to use your energy. Never waste a bullet here, never waste a bullet there. You got to go and navigate in the middle of the peloton. That's the way that you win Paris-Roubaix Tour de Flanders. But this guy, they don't seem to need it. It's like you say, they have 100 watts more than the others.
Yeah, they can do what they want. And also in some races, like Kuhn, like for example, Van der Poel was going away in a break away alone on 100k from finish. That was really stupid. He didn't run what was nice for television. But I was on the television and I say immediately, what he's doing now, he doesn't win today, but he gives spectacle. So it was the same in Tirreno Adriatico every day. There was a battle between them and they didn't win Milan Sanremo. So in the near future, they have to think what they want to do and what they want to win. And now they coming in a moment that just one a monument is good enough for everything. So if Wout van Aert win three stages in the Tour of England and he doesn't win in Leuven, the World Championships, it's a disappointing. So I prefer that he doesn't win the three stage races in Tour of England and that he was world champion. So they have to focus a little bit more on the big events. And what is the big events? That is the big five. It's starting with Sanremo and it's in at Lombardia. And then you have the Tour de France and world champions. So, what it's for Van der Poel or Van Aert if they win two times a stage in Tirreno Adriatico or Paris-Nice? Nothing. It's nothing can beat with Milan Sanremo. So they have to win Milan Sanremo and not before. And now they coming in a moment that they understand that they have to make choices, getting a little bit shorter your career. So what they want or want, what they have to do is just win monuments and not small races. That's over. Don't win small races anymore. Just focus on the big races, the big events, and that's it. Because they have to suffer a lot. Training, altitude trainings, a lot of training. So, I don't understand. He did last week 2 cyclocross days. One the Saturday in Belgium and the next day in Italy, in altitude, on the snow. Yeah, he have to take the airplane. He will arrive late and the next day he will give full gas. So my winter was recovery. Stay home, have a good training, relax, do sometimes different things that you don't do. That's what I'm thinking in cycling. And I have also a long career. So difficult. So it's too difficult to explain everything in 1 hour.
It's super difficult. But for that, there seems a guy who knows, who seems to know how to win in the big day. And I guess he was important for you, Mr. Patrick Lefebvre. How impactful was him on your career? And do you think, like, would he, like Wout or Van der Poel, would they benefit from working with someone like Lefebvre?
Oh, to say that we'd be better, that's difficult to say because they have already a level that's exceptional. Lefebvre, he has something special, and yeah, he do it every year the same. And they have the Wolfpack, and it was already before a little bit the Wolfpack, but now they have a name, the Wolfpack. And yeah, the atmosphere is very good over there. And the riders that going there, they have another level. And riders that get to another team, they have also another level. So that's how it is. For example, Cavendish was 3 days in 3 years in another team. This year, he was again with Patrick Lefebvre, and he won more than one stage in the Tour de France, and he got the green jersey. And nobody was believing in it before in January. And yeah, that's how it is, the atmosphere over there. But to say if Van der Poel or Van Aert were in the team of Lefebvre, they will win more. And maybe they will focus more on what I had said before, just to get a monument.
And talking about someone who stays with Lefebvre, Henk van der Poel, it's a dream to Lefebvre to fight for a GC Grand Tour. He was still a winner at the Classics.
Oh, he wants to win the Tour de France. Of course, he wants to win the Tour de France. But to win the Tour de France, that's now we're talking about something that's really difficult for everybody. It's even difficult for Chris Froome. It's even difficult for Bernard. It's even difficult for Wiggins. It was. So you don't have many riders that can win the Tour de France. You have to get a rider in your team that can win the Tour de France. So now they hope that Evenepoel will win in the next years the Tour de France. But maybe you will ask to me and say, if this is it possible, then I have to think a little bit. It's possible. To win the Tour de France, it's for really special riders. I have won the Tour de France together with Greg LeMond in the Nive. He was really good, a great rider. And I know Tour de France winners are really special guys. And you have to be 3 weeks focused, good recovery, very hard in the head. It's not so easy to win the Tour de France. And now I'm thinking already a couple seconds what I have to say if Evenepoel will win the Tour de France, yes or no. I think it will be quite difficult also for him to win the Tour de France and let him growing a little bit more. For example, a couple of years, and let's start maybe to be on the podium of the Giro or the Vuelta. And yeah, it's I think honestly it will be very difficult for Evenepoel to win the Tour de France. I hope I'm wrong, really, because I'm Belgian and it's already a long time that we didn't have a Tour de France winner. The last one was Lucien Van Empel. I don't know exactly when it was, but it's already so long time that we have a Tour de France winner. But it will be difficult, but there is always a chance. But you don't have many riders in the peloton that can't say, now on the moment, next year I will win the Tour de France.
Yes. A winner is always a winner. After you retire, nowadays that you go for a ride with some of your friends and champions and gods, how competitive you get? You just ride or you try to beat each other or joke with each other? Of course, it's more of a fun than a competition, but your winning instincts, your killer instincts, let's say, that made you a big winner, when you go for a ride today with some friend, with a group, or maybe with guests, how they manifest?
But guests, I want to be the winner because the guests, they pay for it. And sometimes I say, okay, you can win. But no, I still bike a lot and my condition is okay. But I want to do it on the good way. That's mean I have to take care of my body. My body is still okay, but I know I'm not so young anymore. And if I'm bike with young people that is better than me and I want to follow them, that's not really okay for my body. And that's what I mean. If I have somebody that wants to testing me and he is better than me, I say, you're better than me, so go ahead. That's how I'm riding now. On the flat, it's difficult to drop me, but on a hill, I didn't have my competition weight, so now I drink a glass of red wine every day in the evening, or two or three, or sometimes a bottle. So I want to profit also of my life, and if I lost maybe 10 kilos, I will go faster uphill. But it doesn't interest me if I get up faster. I want to be good level, but I want to be the winner anymore. And if I have riders with me that are better than me, I say, I will see you at the top of the mountain. So wait for me over there. And that's how I'm riding now. I'm riding always with the heart sensor on my Wahoo GPS. So I try to not increase more than 160. So before, when I was rider, that was 180. But that's normal if you're coming older. It's going down and down and down and down and down. And I'm happy what I can do now on my age, and that I can bike every day, and that I go fast for my age. But I don't want to bike for a competition, or don't bike for to be the fastest, or to be the winner. Because if I have people with me, there is nobody has won 3 times Flanders and 3 times Roubaix. So I will be always the winner.
Perfect.
That's incredible. That's super nice, super nice.
Conheça os produtos Gregário. Itens de qualidade com a nossa identidade. Experimente o café Roubaix, feito com grãos especiais para quem é apaixonado por um cafezinho antes ou depois das pedaladas.
Tá aí, Johan Muzian, um dos grandes nomes do ciclismo mundial, aqui com a gente na Gregário, um papo que não decepcionou. Espero que você tenha gostado. O Muzian falou tudo o que ele pensava e de uma forma muito descontraída, sempre muito simpático. Um cara que está sabendo se reinventar na modalidade. O Gregário Cycling volta no dia 7 de janeiro, no formato padrão que você já está mais do que acostumado. Mas até lá, a gente tem uma série de outras publicações também inéditas para que você compartilhe com a gente não só da paixão pelo ciclismo, como também das histórias e do podcast. Em nome de toda a família Gregário, eu desejo você um feliz ano novo, um grande abraço e até a próxima.